Hello and welcome to the Providence College Podcast. I'm Michael Hagan from the class of 2015, and I'm joined by producer Chris Judge of the class of 2005. Today we're excited to welcome Sister Anne Frances Klein, a Dominican sister of the Congregation of St. Cecilia, informally known as the Nashville Dominicans, and a campus minister at Providence College since 2014. Sister Anne Frances, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Michael.
So, Sister Anne Frances, Dominican sisters live lives of prayer, contemplation, and ministry, which can take a number of forms. Tell us about a normal day in your life as a Dominican sister and as a campus minister.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Our day usually starts with prayer. We get up pretty early in the morning, about 5 o'clock, and then we're down in the chapel, and we have about a half an hour of silent meditation. Then we have Mass, and a wonderful time afterwards at breakfast, listening to a lot of really good spiritual reading. And then the sisters, poof, they're out. They're out in the community. So I'm over at Providence College in campus ministry, and my sisters teach at St. Pius Elementary School. So we have these two apostolates in our house, which is really great. And as a campus minister, I have a number of late nights, which can be wonderful and challenging in the morning. So sometimes I need a little bit of break in the morning. But yeah, it's a great opportunity to serve the Lord here in Rhode Island. Yeah.
So tell us about your community. You're a Nashville Dominican. What does that mean?
Well, our community is stationed, our mother house is in Nashville, Tennessee. Our formal name is actually the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia of Nashville, Tennessee. But that's kind of our common name, is the Nashville Dominicans. Our mother house has been there since 1860. We were the first congregation there, and that actually had a school, a running school for young women, kind of a finishing school. And it kept operating during the Civil War. So
wow.
Since that time, we've been there, and we have about 300 sisters. We teach in schools across the United States, also in Scotland and Ireland and Australia, Rome. We're kind of in a number of places. So yeah.
So how many sisters live in your house in Providence?
We have five. There are five sisters. Yeah.
So now a lot of people use the terms nun and sister interchangeably. Is there a distinction between those terms?
Yes, actually, there is. So the term nun would mean someone who is a contemplative, and they would live in a cloister, which means that it's a group of sisters or nuns who live together, and they do not leave. They don't go out for an apostolate like I have. For example, I go out as a campus minister, and my sisters are teaching in the elementary school. So nuns would really dedicate their lives to praying for the world. And they're kind of the heartbeat of the church. I mean, basically, they keep the place running. So nuns have a beautiful apostolate. I wish I had that calling, but I didn't. So, and then sisters have an apostolate where they go out and they'll do active things in the community.
So members of your congregation tend to wear their religious habits pretty much every day, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
But many other sisters will wear everyday or office clothes day to day. So what do you hope that people will think and feel when they see you and your sisters on campus and out in the world wearing Dominican habits?
Well, I have to say that I love the Dominican habit. I think it's very beautiful. It's really an honor, a privilege to wear it. Every piece has a prayer. So every day when we put our habits on, we pray specific prayers. And it's really, the habit is a gift, and it's also an indication that we are brides of Christ. So our veil in particular is kind of like a wedding ring. You know, it's we are given over to God. So hopefully people, when they see us, realize that God is amongst us and he loves us, and his presence is here, and that we are here to bring that love and peace and joy to others. And hopefully that people will ask us, you know, we have people come up to us and ask for prayers. And that's kind of the one of the main things that we do is pray for other people. So the habit really is a gift, and it's a wonderful sign of our Lord's presence.
So what is the formation process for aspiring sisters like in your congregation?
Yes, so our congregation begins with what's called, if a young woman wants to enter our congregation, it begins with the postulancy, which takes about a year. And that's a period of time where a person who is just maybe thinking about religious life, feels a call, would come and immerse themselves in the life and really get a sense of, is this what the Lord is calling me to? At the end of that year, that's when a sister or a young woman would receive their name and a habit. So, and the symbolism of that is that with a new name, you're given a mission in life from the Holy Spirit. And you're given your habit, and it's given to you like piece by piece, and it's a very beautiful ceremony. So, and you're called a novice at that time. So you're a new person with a new name. And then there are 2 years that you spend in formation. One is a canonical year, and that's where you're deepening your understanding of the vows. And we profess 3 vows, one of poverty, chastity, and obedience. During that time, while you're in your canonical year, you're studying these vows. And then the next novice year is your apostolic year. So you go out a little bit into the community to see if this, you know, is a fit for you. At the end of those 2 years, you profess your first vows. And that's when you receive like a black veil. And that indicates that you have given yourself over to Christ. So all in all, it's about 7 years before final profession. And at final profession, it's when we say, for all my life, where I'm giving my whole person, my whole being to Christ for all my life. So it's a period about 7 years, and it's wonderful in our community because we have a beautiful formation program, which includes study of sacred scripture, of philosophy. So it's the cycle is very beautiful.
So you mentioned the practice of taking new names when joining the congregation or entering religious life. Could you tell us a little bit about the story and the significance of your name, Anne Frances?
Yes, absolutely. I've always had an affinity to Saint Anne. She is the grandmother of Jesus. And I spent some time in Jerusalem, and I was able to go to the Basilica of Saint Anne's. And really, that experience was very deep for me. And I've always had kind of an Anne supporting me throughout my life, different Anns, people named Anne along the way. So I have an affinity to St. Anne. My Frances is from Frances Xavier Cabrini, and she was a saint of the immigrants. And so I'm from Colorado, and there's a actual shrine there for St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. So that's really my basis of the name Saint, you know, Sister Anne Frances. Yeah.
Now, Mother Cabrini, she was, sorry if you mentioned this, but she was in Philadelphia, correct?
Or? She was, yeah, okay. But she was all across the country. She was in Chicago, she was in New York, she was in Colorado. I think there are over 360 schools, hospitals dedicated that she founded throughout North and South America. Mm-hmm. So there are stories about her traveling by donkey to, you know, different places in the Andes. And so she was tough. She was a really strong one.
So tell us a little bit about the beginnings of your vocation. Your roots are in Colorado, and you were a nurse before you became a sister. So what was your path like to religious life?
Yeah, I live near a Benedictine community. I'm from Boulder, Colorado. So I grew up really skiing and biking and hiking and doing lots of stuff.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous. The Rockies are gorgeous. But I had the privilege of growing up near some contemplative Benedictine sisters. And there was a chaplain there at their monastery who was from Downside Abbey in England, and I became good friends with him. And I think through that experience, really learned a lot about divine love, learned, you know, how God loves us so much. I didn't necessarily grow up in a very big Catholic family. So when I went to college, I did get confirmed when I was a junior, and I went to Colorado College. I swam on their swimming team there and had an experience after confirmation of really knowing God on a different level. So that was kind of the beginnings of it. But then really, after a lot of study and contemplation, I came closer and closer to the Lord, and then went on a retreat in Nashville, and that I realized, okay, I think this, the Dominican charism, the love of truth, the love of contemplation, the monastic customs, all of that just spoke deeply to my heart.
Now, here at Providence College and in the Elmhurst neighborhood, we're blessed to have Dominican sisters like yourself working among us. But for many people, many Catholics included, exposure to sisters sometimes comes more through pop culture than through personal encounter. There's, of course, a long history of films featuring sisters, from The Bells of St. Mary's to Sister Act to The Sound of Music to Doubt, and everything in between. Sometimes sisters are portrayed as tough, old school, and no nonsense, and other times they're agents of comic relief. What do you think that Hollywood tends to get right about religious sisters, and what does it tend to get wrong?
Okay, well, I think that in the current era, I'm trying to think of a movie that gets it right. And that was very difficult for me, actually. I think in the 1940s or so, 40s and 50s, The Song of Bernadette is a beautiful film. I think that's beautiful. It really depicts very well Saint Bernadette and just how God came to that family, came to her in the uttermost moment of poverty. And like our Lord at the incarnation coming to the world in such poverty. So I think seeing that movie, it depicts Saint Bernadette. Now there are a couple scenes in there that I don't think are as accurate, but that's okay. I think that movie does speak to the truth of how the Lord calls a soul. But it's very hard with the depictions of sisters now, because it's either they're knuckle cracking and they're just not very smart. And I guess I just don't like those depictions at all, because it's always a stereotype. Mm-hmm. So Joan of Arc, it's another example of one that shows a very courageous woman who loved the Lord and suffered deeply from persecution, and yet the truth in the end rang. So I think that's another one, but I don't know about pop culture and nuns. I think it's in sisters. I don't think it smacks of truth.
So what you're saying is that rather than learning about sisters and nuns from the movies, we should go out of our way and actually try to meet people like yourself who are living lives of service and prayer for the Lord.
I think that's a very accurate statement. And one example, now we you know, whether you could meet Mother Teresa or not, is now you couldn't, of course, because she's deceased. But Mother Teresa is a very fine example. Look at that story of her life. Malcolm Muggeridge's interview with her is an amazing story. And because of the conversion of his own life, the movie Something Beautiful for God is an excellent piece that is more documentary, I know, but just to see how someone like Mother Teresa, I mean, The example that I love is where she prayed on her feast day. She was praying that there would be a ceasefire in Beirut so that the sisters could go in and rescue 37 children who were basically left and neglected there during the war. And that's a great example of so many women across the world who are doing beautiful things. Other examples like this are of the Iraqi sisters, Iraqi Dominican sisters, who have recently gone back to Iraq. And after ISIS destroyed their convent, destroyed so many things, and just to see the courage of those women to go back and to accompany the people, the Christians who are a minority population, and to have them accompany them and build up the church again, where you see courageous women like that, Sister or Mother Olga, Sister Norma Pimentel, all those sisters are doing such solid and beautiful work in our world today.
You weren't kidding earlier when you said that sisters and nuns are the heartbeat of the church.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, I actually, when I was studying abroad, I was part of a community that included a Dominican sister from Iraq who was, she was doing her DPhil it was fascinating. It was Old Testament studies. And what was so interesting was that, you know, on this side of the ocean, we look at the stories of, Babylon and Persia and these adversaries of Israel in the Old Testament, and it's very foreign to us. For her, this is where she's from. This is, you know, for her, this was part of her heritage. So it was fascinating getting to know her, but we were all so worried for her when she decided as soon as she finished her DPhil that she was going back to Iraq. The heroism is really remarkable.
Yeah, it's striking. It's very striking. And I don't think we often hear those stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Much more powerful than anything you'll see in the movies.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So in this 50th year of women undergraduates at the college, we're asking people, how has being a woman impacted your experience at Providence College?
Well, I looked at this question and thought about it for a while. I often think of Mary Magdalene when she first saw our Lord and then ran to tell the brothers all about that, what had happened and how she had seen Jesus. And then John and Peter run back to the tomb. You know, we're kind of running to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And really, as a woman, I'm doing it in my way, beautiful way that the Lord has given to me. I don't see gender as something that is separate from who I am. You know, it's more of a whole picture. So really bringing that beautiful message of Jesus Christ in a feminine and loving and good way, I think that's the biggest impact I think I could have.
Now, how does your perspective as a woman and as a vowed sister affect your role as a campus minister? And how does your role in campus ministry complement that of the friars who serve as chaplains?
Yes, I think with our campus ministry, we have so many beautiful people who are working there right now. And it's wonderful to have different vocations represented. So we have consecrated religious, we have our priests, our beautiful Dominican fathers. We have married people, we have single people. So it's wonderful to see kind of that complementary nature of all these different vocations that can mirror to our students how they can live in the world and how they can live their vocation in the world. I've had the privilege of working with the Dominican Fathers for the last almost 8 years now, and it's been a great joy. I've met so many wonderful friars, it's particularly in the RCIA program where we have taught together. We've also gone on some great pilgrimages. We went to Fatima, and we were privileged to have one of our retired friars, with us, Father Myers, and that was such a treasure. So it's a real gift to be able to be with the friars, to work with the friars. And I have to say, the men on our campus lay down their lives for these students daily, in so many ways. Like, they're giving and giving and giving. So it's kind of part of it that we all are trying to give as much good as we can, you know, and it's a little bit of holy competition, you know, who can race to the tomb faster.
Yeah. I was going to ask, is there any sort of, you know, you've got Dominican fathers and brothers and Dominican sisters, all part of the same Dominican family. Is there any sort of sibling rivalry at all?
Well, there can be, but hopefully it's all in good form.
So you mentioned the trip to Fatima and some other experiences in your time at campus ministry. But what parts of your work in campus ministry are most meaningful and rewarding to you?
I would say the students, really seeing God's grace working in them, watching freshmen come in and maybe their faith life isn't as strong as they want it to be, or maybe they just have never receive their sacraments, watching them go through the Western Civ program and having their hearts very much stirred by what they're reading, and then watching them experience God's grace through the sacraments, through meeting the friars, through the confessional, through Mass, and through many of our retreats and things. And watching that happen and watching the transformation that is so dramatic and so beautiful, to see God at work in their souls, that to me is spectacular. And it's something that I'm ever grateful for, that I can accompany people.
So, sisters, say that there are young women at Providence College who are considering religious life, and we know that in just the last few years, several Providence College graduates have entered religious life, both men and women. But what's one thing that you would say to young women who are considering religious life in your congregation or another congregation of sisters?
Yeah, I would say deepen your love for the Lord and trust in His grace, like continuously live in the present moment and realize that the Lord leads souls in particular and unique ways. And also that religious life is a gift from God. We can't be Pelagian, doing Pelagian aerobics and like muscle our way into a convent. That just doesn't happen. It's a gift from God, and it's something that you receive. So being open to that and realizing that the Lord draws souls, and that it's a beautiful life. That's the other thing that I would say, that it's a very beautiful life, and it actually gets richer and deeper and more beautiful as one grows into the vocation. That's the other thing, is that you realize the truth of God's call year after year, and there's a deeper sense of joy and love there.
Well, Sister Anne Francis, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you, Michael.
Subscribe to the Providence College podcast in all the usual places, including iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, as well as your smart speaker. If you like what you hear, please review and share with others. Thanks for listening, and go Friars.